The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong.
Oh, we must take America done. Back. Our future's done, been ransomed. The Golden announced the House has passed their stopgap spending bill, but it's expected that the Democrats, headed up by idiots like Upchucky Schemer, are probably going to block it in the Senate. That's right. The countdown to the shutdown is now being measured in hours, not days. Cable news networks are carrying ticking clocks on their screens. The likelihood of a shutdown seems to be growing by the hour. Good. Shut it down. I don't give a damn anymore. House Republicans spent much of today whipping votes for their short-term spending bill to keep the government open until February. Every 4 weeks they're doing this. And they've been doing this for what, 8-10 years? Why don't they get their thumbs out of their assets, that's A-S-S-E-T-S, and get a real budget put together instead of playing these political games? Yeah, our future's been mortgaged and taxed to death. So now we've got this scramble that was exacerbated by Trump's morning tweet that the children's health insurance program should be part of the long-term solution, not a short-term funding extension. The White House and that idiot Speaker Ryan assured reporters that the president does indeed support the GOP bill, which would extend the children's health insurance program for 6 years. Ryan also expressed optimism that Republic rats would have the necessary votes in the House, but conservatives continue to oppose the bill. I promise you, he does not have the votes. That, according to Representative Mark Meadows, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. Floor vote on the House has now been completed. But, you know, they've probably done this by the hair of their chinny chin chin. Three Republicans and 39 Democrats in the Senate have come out against the bill, which is enough to block it. Senate Democrats reportedly hope to force Republicans to negotiate with them on immigration. Wow, what a surprise. And while it's possible that members could shift their positions, it definitely means the federal government is closer to a shutdown than it has been since a 16-day closure in 2013. Goody, goody, goody. Oh, and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, the toothless wonder, he's already planning for a shutdown. I'm glad. I really don't get it, folks. We the people are the last ones under consideration. They're more concerned about 40 million illegal invaders in this country. They're more concerned about 800,000 little chillins that were brought here. Of course, not against their will. They were just being carried across the border by mommies and daddies to think they've got a right to stay just because they've gone to school here at our expense, that they've lived in housing in many cases at our expense, they've eaten at our expense, they've gotten health coverage at our expense, and these SOBs are more concerned about future voters than they are about the future of this country. There ain't going to be a future, folks. I am glad I'm not going to be alive 10, 15, 20 years from now. I don't want to be a part of it. Because frankly, I'll start shooting. I don't care anymore. Doesn't it anger you? But what are you doing? Sitting back there in your homes tonight or on your phones, listening to the program, thinking,
Oh, but Bennett, there's nothing we can do about it.
The hell there isn't. And for every American that sits back and says there's nothing we can do about it, it's because you haven't done your part. Most of these people that are involved with these votes should have been booted out of Washington years ago by we, the voters. But the unfortunate thing is, every damn one of them is getting supported by outside funding. We got it going on here in Arizona. There's this Kelly Ward chick that's running against, you know, to get Flake's place. On the surface, she sounds real good, real clean. But you know what? They've all got a BS story. When they're running for office, oh boy, I gonna deliver. I'm the saint that you've been looking for. But 70% of her money is coming in from out of state. What are they buying? Jeff Bennett here, second hour, National Intel Report. Protecting your wealth is generally the main topic. I'm ticked off tonight. I'm angry for a lot of reasons. And I'm angry because I have spent the last quarter of a century, as John has and others on this network and elsewhere, trying to wake people in this country up, and I'm convinced that they're brain dead. They cannot be awoken up. They don't want to wake up. They want to listen to the programs that they listen to and think that they're making a difference because you're listening. You're not. Not if you take everything that we've tried to teach you for this past quarter of a century and then turn to your wife at the end of the program and say, that was a nice program. Take some of the things we're teaching you and do something with it. You're not going to change this nation by trying to make a change in D.C., although God only knows that would help. But it would have to be a big change. As far as I'm concerned, 99.9% of everybody serving in public office, elected office in Washington, D.C. ought to be sent packing. And when they get home, they ought to be strung up. Don't give me the new rope business. New ropes were used in the old days as a sign of respect, even for the criminal, the guy that was getting hung. Dirty, nasty, filthy ropes. And as they're dangling around, I hope it breaks. And then they'll fall down, and maybe their head will hit the edge of the little platform, and they'll break their neck anyway.
That's not a very Christian thing to say.
So what? It's time that it happens. It's getting old, people. Markets, Dow closed down nearly 100 points today at 26,017. S&P 500 was down nearly 5 at 27.98. NASDAQ was off about 2.25 at 72.96. Minuscule in the scheme of things. You know, it's just not a big deal. Oil off 40 cents a barrel. It's 63.55. Tax bill's been lowered, corporate rates, so why are some companies taking charges? It's interesting, some of the big financial operations, some of the banks, some of the brokerage houses are having some of the worst financial years because the new tax deal has kind of not done them a real neat thing. So they're losing money. Too bad. They've made enough. Rhodium flat at $1,520 an ounce. Palladium up a dollar at $1,093. Platinum down a dollar today at $999, which means yesterday, I guess, it was at $1,000. Or at some point in time today, it was at $1,000. And what are the other little lovely metals doing? Our favorite one, silver, currently up 2 cents in the aftermarket at $1,700. I'm sorry, it's $17 even. Boy, wouldn't that have been nice. Gold up some 38.39 cents now at $1,328.54. Yeah, I'm popping. I've got a screen in front of me that just pops instantly with every nanosecond. Interesting stuff. I got a flyer from one of my suppliers today, some very unusual sales that are being made available in 10th and quarter and half ounce pure fractional 999 fine silver rounds with quite an interesting plethora of beautiful designs on them. You got any interest in that stuff, get with me after the program or tomorrow. We'll see what's out there. I know that there is a sale going on for just a few more days, three more days. And once it's up, it's up. But the biggest problem is I've got to have the funds in hand, like before I can even place the order. That's the way my supplier does business, unfortunately. So what else is going on? Digital gold. We're typically talking about crypto-type currencies or cryptocurrencies in general. It doesn't matter what brand you want to slap the name on. 30 to 50% price drops in a matter of days, the loss of $300 billion in value. That's quite a knock for a market that was not meant to be in a speculative bubble, was it? In less than 36 hours, the cryptocurrency market managed to make a fair few people feel real nervous as they watch cryptocurrency prices fall very sharply. The two most popular, as measured by market cap, saw the biggest losses over Tuesday and Wednesday this week. Digital coin Bitcoin dropped its key psychological level. They dropped below their key psychological level of 10,000. Ether or Ether also made a drop below their all-important level of 1,000. Crypto market has been on a tear for the past few months. We all know that. We're frequently asked by people about Bitcoin and things like it and whether they should be getting into it. Well, I hate to say it, gold is the best way to secure value from crypto volatility. But that's not the end of our story. Unsurprisingly, many cryptocurrency buyers or investors have been looking at how they can secure their gains. Since early December and continuing in recent days, we're seeing numerous existing and new clients who had been massive gains, who had seen massive gains in Bitcoin and Ripple, etc., diversifying into this little thing we call physical gold. They've been buying both gold coins and bars for delivery and storage, and I never recommend storage. I'm sorry. The only time I ever recommend storage is when you're involved with a trust-controlled, self-directed retirement account, or IRA. I've been very deeply involved with those now for a quarter of a century. I think it's a great place to do it. I've got people that have been forced to bail out at the wrong time. I've got people that are still sitting that were buying silver from me at $4 and $5 an ounce, and it's still triple where it was, even though it's not as high as it once was. So they can't be complaining. Oh, by the way, one high net worth British entrepreneur involved in tourism sold a substantial amount of their Bitcoin and bought kilo bars of gold for storage in Zurich. Now, that's pretty common in Europe. Another tech interpreter told us, or entrepreneur told us, he was selling Ripple. What is that, the wine? After having very large profits and a nine-bagger, meaning his initial punt on Ripple had gained nine times his initial value, bought a substantial amount, over 100 ounces of gold maple leaf coins for insured delivery. Ripple, by the way, lost 50% of its total value in one day. And it's not just digital gold Bitcoin gains that have people diversifying into gold. Over the last 2 weeks, we've had a few clients who had seen huge short-term gains in Ripple. They diversified back into gold. They told us they were concerned that the massive price appreciation was unsustainable. They got nervous about it. They decided it was a good time to sell and take some profits. Not a stupid move. It's what I've been telling people for a while. If you've seen those kind of gains, take some of them. Let some of it sit. Take some of your gains back out. Do something with it. Of course, all of that was a fortuitous move, given that XRP, that's the Ripple currency, lost 50% of its value on Tuesday alone. It's just 2 days ago. So the price action, along with the other major cryptos, has gotten many asking as to where the value in cryptocurrency really is. Some in the newly rich crypto community are recognizing that it's about realizing real value when you cash out and placing into real assets such as gold and silver. And some of those we've spoken to and we've assisted in recent weeks are selling a very overvalued asset and putting into still undervalued asset. Gold prices remain exceedingly depressed, especially from where they were compared to 6-7 years ago. But sentiment is still pretty poor. But there is a trend, and we think that that trend is likely to continue given the overvaluation of cryptos and the undervaluation of precious metals. Oh, and that doesn't discount the fact that we're watching Wall Street is grossly overvalued right now as well. So, as we have discussed with a number of people over the weeks and the last several months, there are some dodgy dealings and market manipulation going on in the world of precious metals, namely silver, but yes, also gold. And while it's a disconcerting prospect, the beauty of it is that precious metal investors can take advantage of it. They can secure physical silver and gold at relatively low prices in preparation for the coming bull markets. And yet when it comes to the manipulation of digital or paper assets, it doesn't work out so well for the average investor, does it? And one of the reasons so many of the early adopters took to Bitcoin was not just because it was a cheap punt, but also because it was supposedly more secure, offered a more honest form of exchange than those currently seen in the wider financial world. And yet, my friends, it's been a victim to a number of security breaches and even price manipulation scandals. There's a new paper by researchers at the Non-Southern Baptist University in Tel Aviv and the University of Tulsa. And they have found that Bitcoin has been the victim to, oh no, price manipulation? So you see, Bitcoin might be vulnerable to manipulation and not be as unbreakable after all. And as we've continued to try to share with people, Bitcoin or any other type of crypto is not a substitute for gold nor silver, but they could have a complementary relationship. Bitcoin and crypto are digital assets. Most are no more secure in terms of value or pricing than any other form of digital gold or stock or an ETF. And yet many of those who choose to hold cryptocurrencies do so for the same reason that many choose precious metals, because they wish to diversify outside of the global monetary and financial system. But as I have stated on this program in the past, I begin to question the sincerity of what is meant by diversification outside of the global monetary and financial system, because more and more every single day, cryptocurrencies appear to be becoming more a part of the global financial system. And physical and silver bullion that is allocated and segregated in your name is the best way to guarantee the securing of the profits achieved from and wealth created by cryptocurrencies. So if there's profit to be had in your cryptocurrencies, by all means, take some of it and convert it into gold and silver. You see, most cryptos have very little real value whatsoever, other than to make hard and fast profits from, or indeed hard and very large losses. And so the lesson we hope here is to take profits on an overvalued asset. I don't care if it's cryptos or stocks or bonds or property. Sell overvalued assets. Buy undervalued assets. Rebalance your investments. Diversify into undervalued assets. And right now, that would be gold and silver bullion. And the long haul, they're the only proven safe haven. Period. Obviously, we'd like to be able to assist you. So whether you want to talk about gold or silver, you want to talk about an IRA, you want silver eagles, gold eagles, maple leaves, gold bars. I had a client that needed to do some liquidation of some stuff yesterday. He'd acquired from me last year, actually in 2016. And because he and his wife are starting a new business, guess what? If he'd originally left his investment into paper, he'd have spent it by now. He was able to fall back on the gold and silver, although at the time being, he's hanging on to the silver. And we'll talk about more. We'll talk more about that in a little while. And so here we are. We are almost 3 weeks into 2018. I continue to see story after story about how this year should be quite bullish for this precious metals market. But how many times over the years have people come to me,
hey, Jeff, what do you think gold's going to do by the end of the year? Where's silver going to be come my summer vacation, the fishing with the boys?
Well, I don't stick out price targets on markets, especially gold and silver, because of the undeniable market intervention of the central banks. Market manipulation, which is blatant to the point at which it's now denied only by card-carrying idiots. Who's got the largest control of silver holdings in this country? J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, and the Chase Group. Well, over the last couple of weeks, gold and silver have had very sharp run-ups from at the end of 2017. And yet the abrupt move in gold was accompanied by a rapid rise in the gold futures open interest on the COMEX. Now, the commercial, or the banks, net short position in COMEX gold futures had increased by 100,000 contracts. That's from 120 net short to 220,000 net short. And that happened in just 4 weeks through the most recent COT report, or COT report. That's a net paper gold short of 22 million ounces. 623 tons of paper sold short. If they had to deliver the gold, they couldn't do it. It's a roll of the dice. Now, as of 2 days ago, the open interest in gold futures increased another 27,000 contracts, most of which, based on the trend in the COT positions, can be attributed to a continued increase in bank short interest. It's not because your Uncle Joe or your widowed grandmother, Mary, just decided to roll the dice and do something. There's stuff going on. Let's put this paper gold short position in perspective. Maybe we can better understand it. The COMEX reports that its warehouses safe keep 9.2 million ounces of gold. Now, that number is unaudited. That's for starters. But that's 11 million ounces less than the bank's net short position. Only 586,000 ounces of gold are reported to be registered or available for delivery. What? 586,000 against 9.2 million that they've sold on paper? The ratio of the paper gold short to deliverable gold is 37 to 1. In other words, every ounce of deliverable gold has been hypothecated and resold 37 times. Now, if you're a card-carrying idiot, you got every right to deny that these numbers reflect the flagrant disregard of security laws by the banks. But, of course, the very people appointed to enforce these laws, they're from law firms that make millions of dollars defending the bank's legal rights to ignore the rule of law. But as the old country song says, on the other hand, offsetting the attempted control of the price of gold using derivatives, the Eastern Hemisphere demand for physical gold continues to be immense. So let's see. The COMEX on paper controls 9.2 million ounces of gold, but they've only got 596,000 ounces that they could deliver. So, offsetting this attempted control of the price of gold using derivatives, it looks like, based on SGE gold withdrawals, China as a whole consumed over 2,000 tons of gold last year. India probably imported and smuggled into the country close to maybe another 100 or another 1,000 tons. Turkey imported 370 tons of gold last year. All of this exceeded the previous record in 2013 by over 22%. Now, I must share with you, the size of turkeys demand was not expected. We don't have Russia's import numbers off the top of our head, but Russia imported more in 2017 than has been typical. There are nations out there that don't have their heads buried in their posteriors, and they're taking the proper stand. They don't like what may be coming. You see, the point is, the Eastern Hemisphere's demand for gold on an annualized basis is increasing as the price of gold increases once again. And it's important to know that on a seasonal basis, imports into China and India tend to slow down in late January through February before picking up again. And my hunch is that the paper gold manipulators are looking to hold down the price of gold as much as possible and wait for Eastern demand to subside before they attack the price, which will serve as a catalyst to launch another surge higher in the price of gold, driven by physical demand. Demand which might get a boost from the ongoing crash of the cryptocurrencies. And so, having said all of this, we believe there's a good chance that gold will move toward and possibly in excess of $1,400 this year. The Trump tax cut will negatively impact the government's spending deficit by a meaningful amount, and the U.S. is going to be forced to issue well over $1 trillion in Treasury debt this year. Are you buying? I'm damn sure not. Because anything you loan to the government, they consider was already theirs anyway, and there's no guarantee you'll ever get it back. They do stupid things. Hey, even Moody's has placed the U.S. government's rating on watch for a possible downgrade. So during the course of the year, my friends, we expect to see the dollar index drop below 90. And that's a technical support level, a key technical support level. If that occurs, gold will very quickly move above $1,400 an ounce. I think I mentioned to you the other night, because gold right now is at, what, 1,328 or thereabouts? A gentleman contacted me about a month ago who was interested in buying a substantial amount of gold. He didn't do it. He may have gone somewhere else, but he didn't buy it from us. Gold was $1,448 an ounce then. There's been an $80 an ounce gain in the last 4 weeks. How many more $80 an ounce four-week time periods are you going to choose to ignore? But then I'm convinced that those of you who are listening to this network, to Republic Broadcasting, that have been listening for any number of years, that used to be middle class are no longer middle class. You've been downgraded. You're lower class now. You poverty struck. You be poor. P.O. is in poverty struck. It's an old line from Red Fox. Well, there was more to the whole shtick. You know, give me smoke like I would need another helping. Give me smoke. And row, and what the lion do? Row, you lion, row. And ho, it be like a bad girl. Yeah. Got to get some laughter in there once in a while. Come on. So, let's spend some time talking about a traditional form of money. And it's one that most people have either completely forgotten about, or they were completely and totally ignorant going into the deal. Now, we're going to go to a break in just a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk about gold and silver, the once and future money. Stay with us. We'll be back in, oh, I don't know, 3-4 minutes, whatever.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Oh, yeah, I'd be digging that music, man. Yesterday, unusual day, I'm not sleeping well right now. A lot of things going on. My health is still up in the air. I'm doing a little better today, although I'm hungry. I realize I've not eaten a damn thing all day. I got rolling early this morning, although it was interesting because I had just barely over 2 hours sleep last night. Boy, did I sleep well. And I got up, had to get kids off, get them to school. And I got back down here, had a lot of stuff to do. I still have a major issue with GoDaddy I need to deal with, but I have to deal with it after 10 o'clock at night. Now, that's not bad because I'm up anyway most of the time. And I got back here, and I have a morning show elsewhere that I do, and they had a major power outage up there. I mean, the power company had to come replace poles and all sorts of stuff. So I wound up not doing a show, and I said, this is great. I'm going to sleep, and I did. I did not want to get up, but I had to. I had to get ready for this program. But this has not been uncommon. 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to sleep, and I got to be up at 6. And my ears have begun to pop a little bit the last couple days, which means things are starting to open up, or they're trying desperately to open up. It's still getting awfully darn cold out here at night. And, you know, we're up in the upper 70s, sometimes lower 80s in the daytime. It drops down to the 40s. That's quite a swing. But when you live in the desert, you get used to those kind of swings. But we see the same kind of swings in markets, in demand, and in supply. The first 10 minutes or so of this program today, I was getting a little unglued. Because I'm angry. I'm fed up with the direction of this nation. I'm fed up with the fact that it's the banks and the brokerage houses and the stockbrokers and the government that are draining us of all of the money that we have spent our entire life working for. And from a legislative standpoint, this ongoing issue with DACA and amnesty, there should be no damn discussion of amnesty. None. It's off the table. I'm tired of giving people a frickin' free pass. I work amazingly long hours in what I do. It's not just because of dealing with clients and precious metals sales. We do very little with IRAs anymore because it's just not the thing. People retire. They're not necessarily rolling over their 401ks. Other than into the traditional, let's go to, you know, whatever it is, brokerage firm, and we'll open up an IRA with them. And, oh, my, come on, you know, the stock market, the Dow's going to go to 30,000. I'm going to get my piece of the pie. Bob and Mary on the street ain't doing all that well with it. They're just not. And if they do, how many more months or couple of years is it going to take before all of a sudden that retirement account gets kicked in the assets by 50%? Because that's what happened 10 years ago. And how many years did it take for that to rebuild? So it's still a loss in so many respects. But now let's talk a bit about a traditional form of money that, as I mentioned, most people have completely forgotten about. If you've been a regular listener to this network for any period of time, you know, it's interesting. It was 2005 that through, let's call it an intervention, that I joined Republic Broadcasting the first time. Now, I'd worked with John some years prior to that in a network that we owned together. And prior to that, when we were broadcasting through the auspices of a precious metals firm that I worked for, John had a broadcasting partner at that time, and we basically sponsored that program. So we go back, you know, we're pushing a quarter of a century here. So if you've been a regular listener to this network or other networks, you know that, well, in my particular case, I speak quite frequently on the role of gold in the monetary system. People came to me in August and September of 2005, and after Robbie had left the first time, and began buying massive quantities of gold and silver. You go take a look at what the value of gold and silver was in 2005 and how it shot way up, came back down again. It's going to go back up again. There are still times occasionally where I will go out and speak publicly to small groups about gold, about hard assets. But we inevitably get one question from the audience. Now, keep in mind, why do we talk predominantly about gold? Because it's the one thing that just tweaks people. You say you're going to give a talk about gold and the importance of it in your life and your portfolio. Oh, gold's the big draw, baby. But we always get a question from the audience as well. What about silver?
My answer to that question always is, I love silver. I shared with you a number of times since I returned this past August that silver's where I started. Silver is still where I put a goodly sum of my assets. Now, there are those in these talks that I do that assume that I dislike silver as a hard asset because I usually focus on gold, but it's not true. I own silver. I recommend it to investors. I recommend it to you. I've talked more about silver on this program than I have about gold in these last months. It's simple. Do you have a torch? A flashlight? Do you have spare batteries? Do you have some duct tape stashed away for home emergencies? You know, power outages or cyclones? Of course you do. How about 100 ounces of silver coins? 100 ounces of silver coin. If not, you should, because silver and gold are both precious metals. If you can't go out and buy 100 ounces at a time, pick up 20 or 40 ounces at a time. And yes, I can help you with that. Now, from an investment standpoint, understand that silver is more difficult to analyze than gold because gold has almost no use except for money. Oh, yes, sure, it's widely used in jewelry, but I consider gold jewelry a hard asset. What I mean by that is wearable wealth. But we're an unusual country. You know, we go out at Christmas or anniversary or whatever the case, and go to London Gold or K Jewelers or whatever, and we're buying these gaudy bracelets and rings and all this stuff. We're buying them because of their appearance and because it's gold. And maybe it's 18 carat, maybe it's 14 carat. Now, I'm not here to talk about carrots and celery and that stuff tonight, but I there's a time coming very soon. I think we need to discuss the meaning of carrot. I had a guy come to me and said, I want them maple leaves because they got more gold in them than an American eagle. No, they don't. The only difference is a Canadian maple leaf is a 4/9 fine, pure gold 1 ounce coin. American Eagle's not 4/9 fine. It's only 3/9 fine. 10% of its gold content, its metallic content, is comprised of 7% copper for hardness and 3% silver for luster and beauty. It's amongst the reasons that the eagle's a little bit more money than the maple leaf. But if you were to take a 1 ounce gold American Eagle and a 1 ounce gold Canadian maple leaf and melt them down, each one has got the identical 1 ounce worth of gold content in that coin. Places in the rest of the world, go to the Far East, go to Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam. Good examples. I had 21 months experience living in that part of the world. They make jewelry that, yes, it looks nice, but it serves another purpose. Every link on a bracelet is the identical size, weight, shape, and purity. And a link can be broken off and used for barter and trade. Makes sense, doesn't it? That kind of stuff is available to you. But gold? Jewelry. Wearable wealth. But silver, on the other hand, has many industrial applications. It means that the price of silver may rise or fall based on industrial utilization and the business cycle, independent of monetary factors like inflation or deflation and interest rates. But most importantly, silver, like gold, is a form of money. And it's silver that actually has a wider use throughout world history. Well, gold may have a higher valuation by weight, might be scarcer than silver, but silver has been much wider usage as money throughout world history. And in an extreme social or infrastructure breakdown in which banks, ATMs, and store scanners are offline, you never thought of that one, did you? Silver coins might be the only way to buy groceries for your family. A gold coin is just too valuable to exchange for a basket of groceries. But a silver coin or two is just about right. And what about cryptocurrencies? Bitcoin. They depend on a normally functioning grid. And they certainly won't get you anything you need when there's no electricity. Good luck trying, folks. You see, if a failure happens, and don't believe for a second that it couldn't, shortages will appear. The price of silver could soar to $60 an ounce or higher, a 250% gain from current levels. And it could happen in a matter of minutes. And beyond the real possibility of emergencies, my expectation is that as savers and investors lose confidence in central banks' fiat monetary system, they're going to increasingly turn to physical money, gold and silver, as stores of wealth, a medium of exchange. I mean, digital monies can be seized or manipulated in ways that traditional currencies cannot. And over the last 4 or 5 months, we've already begun to see it. And that's why I call silver the once and future money. Because silver's role as money in the future is simply a return to silver's traditional role as money throughout history. And it's got centuries of history behind it. From antiquity until the mid-20th century, citizens of even modest means had some silver coins. Today, there's no circulating gold or silver coins. Those kind of coins exist are bullion. And they're generally kept out of sight. Nevertheless, silver is a form of money, along with gold and dollars and Bitcoin and euros. But silver's been around long before any of those, and it'll continue to be around long after the other ones are gone. So don't assume that the rise of cryptocurrency has displaced physical metals like silver. What does all this mean for us? Simple short term. Sit down tonight. And I got to be honest with you. I'm at the point, I don't really care if you call me or not. I hope you do, because it's going to be beneficial. The information we're trying to share with you maybe is simplistic enough that it'll make a difference in the way you think tonight. You sit down, whether you're a farmer, a rancher, an insurance salesman, or work at an auto factory, or maybe you're making mop heads. What the heck do I know? Sit down with your family, determine what your cash assets are. I don't mean the value of your home. Your cash assets. What have you got in savings? What have you got under the mattress, in the coffee can, buried in Bessie's stall out in the barn? Add up all of those things. Liquid assets, and what I call investable assets. I recommend a minimum 10% of investable assets into physical gold, not paper gold. Not paper gold and silver. Now, of that 10%, that dollar amount, whether it comes to $5,000 or $2,000 or $10,000 or whatever, in most cases, I'm going to recommend splitting that out. 30% of it in silver, the balance in gold. But Ben and I can make more money if I put it all in silver. Yes, but your goals are to not only increase the value of your estate, as it were, and your assets, but to have spendable assets. You can always convert gold or silver into the other at any time you choose to do so, but 30% in silver, the stuff is heavy. You got to get up and get out of Dodge when another storm or another hurricane comes. You don't want to be hauling around $100,000 in silver. You'll never make it. That's simple. 10% of your liquid investable assets should go into physical gold and silver. Now, in addition to that, yes, you can take a look at shares of well-managed mining companies and royalty companies as a leverage play on physical gold and silver. But just because you put, 10% of your money into paper gold and silver assets doesn't mean you should reduce the amount going into your physical. So let's get historical for a few minutes. How did silver support the economies of empires and kingdoms and nation states throughout history? Why could silver return to its historic monetary role? Think about these things. The Roman Republic, later the Roman Empire, had gold coins called aureus and solidus, but they also minted a popular silver coin called the denarius. One denarius was the daily wage for unskilled labor and Roman soldiers. Of course, in the late empire, the aureus, the solidus, and the denarius were all debased by mixing the gold and silver with base metals. The decline of the Roman Empire went hand in hand with the decline of sound money. Think about that. In the early 9th century AD, Charlemagne greatly expanded silver coinage to compensate for a shortage of gold. And that was successful in stimulating the economy of the predecessor of the Holy Roman Empire. In a sense, Charlemagne was the inventor of quantitative easing over 1,000 years ago. Silver was his preferred form of money. Now we come up to 1792. We have this little thing called the U.S. Coinage Act. Both gold and silver coins were legal tender in this country. From 1794 until 1935, the U.S. Mint issued silver dollars in various designs, some of which we've spoken about recently, the Morgan dollars, the Peace dollars. And these coins were all widely circulated. They were used as money by everyday Americans. The American dollar was legally defined as 1 ounce of silver. If you had a paper dollar, it was worth a dollar. If you had a silver dollar, it was worth a dollar. They both spent identically. Now, the American silver dollar of the late 18th century, of the 1700s, was a copy of the earlier Spanish real, De La Ocho, minted by the Spanish Empire beginning in the late 16th century. The English name for the Spanish coin was Piece of Eight. Ocho is the Spanish word for eight. Those of you living in Mexico know that because probably every second or third person you pass on the street is probably still using the word ocho, not pronouncing it as eight. But you see, the Piece of Eight was called that because the coin could easily be broken off or divided into 1/8 pieces. Ah, how interesting. Well, in 2001, or up until 2001, stock prices on the New York Stock Exchange were quoted in eighths and 16. That's up until 2001. That was all based on the original Spanish silver coin and its 1/8 sections. Now, up until 1965, U.S. silver coins were 90% pure silver with 10% copper alloy added for hardness, for durability. Well, after the LBJ U.S. Coinage Act of 1965, the silver content of half dollars, quarters, and dimes was reduced from 90% content down to 40%. 90% is considered junk silver. 40% is just considered junk. Well, due to the rising price of silver and hoarding by citizens who prized the valuable silver content of the older coins, but that's not totally the truth. The silver content of half dollars only was reduced to 40% for a number of years. Quarters and dimes were not reduced, they were eliminated. So that new law signed by President Lyndon Baines Johnson in 1965, that marked the end of the true silver coinage by the U.S. Other legislation in 1968 ended the redeemability of old silver certificates. Those were paper treasury notes for silver bullion. Thereafter, U.S. coinage consisted of base metals and paper money that was not convertible into silver. Gold, of course, convertibility had already ended in 1933. Thank you, Mr. Rosenfeld. Let's hope that the U.S. is not following in the footsteps of the Roman Empire in terms of political decline, but personally, I believe it is. All of which would coincide with the substitution of base metals for true gold and silver coinage. That could be advantageous. Now, in 1986, the U.S. reintroduced silver and gold coinage with a 999 pure silver and or gold 1 ounce coin called the American Eagle. But, my friends, contrary to what you may believe, American Eagles, and we'll talk specifically about the silver here, is not legal tender. Oh, yes, it carries a $1 face value. The silver eagle is a bullion coin prized by investors and collectors for its silver content, but it ain't money, not in the traditional sense. Who in their right mind would buy a full ounce of silver for goods and services? Why would you pay $18, $19, $20 for that when it would only buy a dollar's worth of goods at the store? Well, in short, silver is as much a monetary metal as gold, has just as good a pedigree when it comes to use and coinage. And silver has supported the economies of empires, kingdoms, and nation-states throughout history. And so it should come as no surprise that percentage increases and decreases in silver and gold prices denominated in dollar are very closely correlated. Yes, silver is more volatile than gold. It's more difficult to analyze because it has far more industrial applications than gold. But it's useful in engines, electronics, and coatings. Let me share something with you because there's more to this story than we have time for. Back before Roosevelt did the deal, gold was worth about $18.50 some odd cents an ounce. But you had a gold coin that was called a $20 gold piece. And that $20 gold piece was interchangeable with a $20 paper bill. They were both bingo. That was it. Well, Roosevelt puts the grab on the gold. A couple months later, all of a sudden, miraculously, the value of gold jumps up to $35 an ounce. That means everybody that turned their gold in at $18.56 or $57 an ounce just got screwed by about 50%. They just got shafted, right? 1986 comes along. The U.S. Mint decides to begin issuing 1 ounce gold bullion coins. 1986, what was gold worth then? $300-$400 an ounce? $500? I don't know what it was. I have to look it up. Why does that gold piece only have a face value of $50 on it? I'm going to share this with you. It's because although we've got gold at whatever it happens to be today, $1,300 and some odd dollars or $1,200 and some bucks an ounce, whatever it is, the real value of an ounce of gold, spot, real spot, not marketable, daily, manageable, yada, 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 is still to this day only 40 some odd dollars an ounce. Be very, very careful what you buy and why you buy it. I've got access to a wide range of other gold pieces that'll cost you a little bit less. They don't have that phony $50 value placed on it. We got more to go, but we're out of time. Thanks for being with us. Lord willing, I'll see you on Tuesday. Get a jump over to Kettle Marine Precious Metals late tonight or in the morning. Some of the things I've shared with you today, we will have posted. You want to read this full story. You want to read it. Gold and silver, the once and future money. Take care of yourselves. Have a good evening. Plenty more to come up here in RBN over the rest of the evening. We'll see you around. Bye-bye.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.